Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Angels, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In these three readings, we have each of the persons of the Trinity mentioned. The Trinity, as you know, is first made known in its entirety to Our Lady at the Annunciation, when the Word of God came from the Archangel Gabriel, overshadowed by God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, in you is to be born the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus, the Holy One. In the Acts of the Apostles, Stephen also addresses the Father as he speaks to him, and he sees the glory of the Father. He is transcending into the beatific vision. He's filled with the Holy Spirit in order for that to happen. And he asks Jesus, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. We know that those words spoken were the words which Saul heard and was the commencement of his conversion. In order for the Holy Spirit to be active in you, we need to be pure and also to be chastised of our own misgivings, to be free of sin. Otherwise, there are impediments there and your discernment is off skew. When we look at the second reading, we hear of, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. We now are entering into a component which is a thread through all of this Holy Scripture, which is the Marian thread. That phrase that I just read is also a Marian thread. The offspring of David, Mary was. The bright morning star, she's a hope in the darkness of the night. When morning is approaching, it's the morning star which is a first light to see. She's also has the analogy of the moon reflecting the sun being the Son of God, the sun in real material world being the sun which heats the earth. She reflects the heat and light at night in darkness to us all. Jesus gave more glory to God by being a child of Mary and by being obedient to Mary and to Saint Joseph for the duration of the year, some 30 years up until the commencement of his passion. This obedience to his parents is something we need to do. We need to honour our parents. There's nothing in Holy Scripture saying that that honour stops when we are in majority, when we're 18 years of age. I think it's 18 here, 21, whatever. But you know what I mean. The honour of our parents is continue. Jesus honoured his parents after he certainly got the message through when he said, I have to do my Father's will. Did you not know? And then he went with them and was obedient to them. So he wasn't subject to what was known as, I'm old enough to do it on my own. And it doesn't stop with children, but it also the children's parents and their parents of their parents, if the great-grandparents are alive, there is to be an honour given. And that honour is to be respectful to them in all things other than sin. In that obedience, you'll find that the will of God, St. Maximilian Kolbe talks about the obedience as being the hardest of the virtues to fulfill, that it was Jesus himself, because of his human nature and foreseeing what was to happen to him in the Garden of Gethsemane, that made him call out, "If it be possible, let this cross be taken from me, let this chalice be taken from me, but not my will, your will be done." And by his obedience, he brought about the salvation of the world. God could have done it another way, but he wanted it done this way. That the second person of the Blessed Trinity become incarnate, to be born of a woman under the law, subject to the law. He, Jesus, was obedient to his earthly parents, and in so doing, he brought about miracle after miracle. And Maximilian Kolbe, referring back again, the miracle of transubstantiation, which is the transforming of the substance of the bread and wine into the real presence of the body, blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That miracle, which is the greatest of the miracles, because it's the resurrected Lord that comes. We, when we're obedient, a miracle happens. Quite often, we have a disturbance. But if you go to your parents, seek counsel, ask, "What can I do for you?" and just go and do it. Don't talk about it, just do it. The garbage which is collected in the mind, the unrealities, the temptations, will evaporate, be no more when you act accordingly. If you prolong, your confusion will bring about a disobedience and not an enactment of what that request was. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me. We go to Mary to be Christified. The Holy Spirit operates through her, as we know through the Annunciation, when she prayed for the Messiah. The angel was sent to her, and in that moment she was asked if she would be the Mother of God, and "Not my will, but your will be done." Her will was to be united with the will of God. She was prevented from sinning, the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. Then again, St. Maximilian Kolbe talks about at that moment the Holy Spirit may domicile in Our Lady, less than an atom. And then later, as we know, at her own conception, at that particular moment, she's prevented from sinning. And then she conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then she gave birth to the Church at Pentecost, because she was praying again, invoking the Holy Spirit to come into the Church. The scripture again, in that second reading of John, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." The Holy Spirit and the bride is also known as the Church. And we relate very much to Paul about wives to be obedient. It's countercultural to be obedient to your husbands, one of the consequences of original sin, and husbands to treat your wives like Christ treats the Church. The Word of God is speaking to married couples here, and the bride is also known as Our Lady. The bride also, Our Lady, is the first Church, because she gave birth to the head, and she's that junction between heaven and earth. By giving birth to the head, she also formed in her womb the body of Christ, and it is the head who then distributes all the graces through Mary, through the neck, to each and each member, each and every member of the body. We need to maximise Mary more and more because she formed the relationship with each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. She's a daughter of the Father, she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and she is also the mother of the Son. She's a part, as St. Maximian Kolbe said, but not a person of the Blessed Trinity, but God deemed it that way. He created her so beautiful she was that he couldn't wait to send his only begotten Son to be a child of Mary. And this is where the consecration of Our Lady comes in. If God saw this creature so beautiful that he couldn't resist to send his only begotten Son to be enfleshed and to dwell with us, then isn't he also saying to us, I want you to go to Mary. I've already told you that she is your mother by grace, my mother by nature, but I'm asking you to go to Mary. And in there is a greater awareness of who the Father is, of who the Son is. Because when you see the Son, you'll know the Father. And this crucifixion through Our Lady, which is the Adamiting of the Word of God, we become Christified when we go to Our Lady, and then we can become united, as the Holy Gospel talks about. The world may know that you sent me and that you love them even as you love me. The Father is being announced here. So the more Christ-like we are, the more Marian, which is something which has been more and more said from the pontific seat, especially since Blessed Pope Paul VI, that we need to be Christian, but first Marian. We need to be Marian in order to be Christian, and that applies to all denominations. We need to know Mary more. But who should propagate this mystery of Our Lady? It's us. The Catholics know Mary. We exalt her more than anyone else, and yet we tend to be holding back and from disclosing who she is, from disclosing her privileges. One of the great words which Scott Hahn said during his conversion was that I didn't hear about Our Lady from the Catholics. He had to find it out through reading the Fathers. He wasn't hearing. No Catholic was explaining it to him. We need to talk about Our Lady more, and to talk about it more, you need to have access to the relevant literature, but place her, as Pope John Paul II did, in the centre, and people immediately step back, but then he qualifies and says, and Jesus is the epicentre. By going to Mary, you'll find Jesus. And she brings us to the Eucharist. She brings us to a Son. And we need to prepare ourselves, because when you look at the Fatima messages, they start with the Eucharist. The angel brings forth the chalice and also the host, the consecrated wine, the body, blood, soul and divinity. Both species, the bread and the wine, consist of the components, body, blood, soul and divinity. And he worshipped and he made reparation and asks the children to make reparation for all those who do not believe, do not adore, do not trust you. And we know in John that in order to have life, we need to receive Jesus. We ourselves are asked, and Pope John Paul II already said it way back in his early years of pontificate, that Sunday Mass is not enough. You need to come and form this relationship with Jesus by visiting him. And he's talking about Eucharistic adoration. And he's talking also about perpetual Eucharistic adoration. Because earlier, within his second year of his pontificate, when he established perpetual Eucharistic adoration in the Vatican, he said, God has asked each and every one of us to adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament 1 hour per week. If you're having difficulties in your life, I say to you, have you gone to Jesus? It's the same Jesus he teaches. It's the same Jesus who is the Son of Mary. It's the same Jesus who died on the cross. Why do you need to talk to someone such as myself other than go to the Eucharist? And then if it's revealed to you that there's a confession needed, then come. But go to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Go to the healer. How many people go straight to the doctor when they're sick when they could come and realize that that sickness was given to them to humble themselves and then ask Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament to heal if that is what he wants, or to let that sickness remain so that we can be humbled to realize and be disposed more and more to his graces, and to realize that it is through humbling that we ourselves can then reach the hearts of many other people. Yes, the consecration to Our Lady is important. It's the fast way. It's the sure way. It's the one that the Word of God took through Mary. Let us remember to go through Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.